Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So God's doing a sign here to attest to the Gentiles that he's the Lord. And it says, and so it was, it became known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now it had said in Leda, when he healed the paralyzed man, all believed in the Lord. Here, many believe in the Lord.
Have you ever heard anyone say, if I saw a miracle, then I would believe in God? Well, God doesn't have to prove himself to anyone, but in the early days of the church, miracles were in fact often a sign to lay the foundation for non-believers to become believers. That's what we see in today's Bible study on Practical Christian Living, where Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, heals a paralyzed man and brings a woman back to life. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with part two of our study in Acts 9, 32 through 43.
So at verse 36, we have another miracle by Peter. And at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. Now, Tabitha is her Hebrew name or Aramaic name. Hebrew and Aramaic are related languages, by the way. So it's her Hebrew or Aramaic name. And it's translated Dorcas, that's the Greek name. Again, I like the Hebrew name better than the Greek name. So we'll call her Tabitha from here on out. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did, but it happened in those days that she became sick and died. Now we're told that she had good deeds and charitable works. We learn a little bit later on that there's widows that are there visiting her, that they're paying their respect to her, and they're wearing garments that she has made, and they're showing the other people the garments she's made. Well, widows in their day, if you lost your husband and you became a widow, oftentimes you were hurt financially. It's one of the reasons, unless you had other family who could take you in and take care of you, you found yourself really destitute. That's why James said in the book of James, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God is taking care of orphans and widows. And it's one of the reasons the early church had a whole ministry. It's the first ministry of the church that we find that they were ministering to widows. Both Hellenistic Jewish widows and Hebraic Jewish widows were being cared for. And there was a conflict that the Hebraic Jewish widows were getting more than the Hellenistic Jewish widows. Remember that? And so they chose seven Hellenistic Jews who had become Christians to oversee the care for the widows. So she took care of widows. And then she dies. And it seems someone who's helping the poor, full of good works, why would they die? That's always the question that we have when someone whom we know and love dies. Many of you guys know that I lost my late wife in 2012 to stage 4 lung cancer. We had found out a year and something before that she was sick, that she had lung cancer. We didn't know it was stage 4. We found out that she had that. And things kind of progressed. We learned that it was worse, but things got better. She responded to the treatment. And I really believe that God was healing her. I really believe that. I believe there was nothing better God could do than take a pastor's wife and heal her. I'd been married for 30 years, by the way. I'd come alongside of people. I'd seen a lot of people struggle and suffer through death, but now I would walk through it myself. And many of you guys were blessed to know Lisa. We're blessed to know the ministry that she had and how she could care for people and how God used her, really used her in a powerful way. And I remember after I lost her saying, why, God, why? I'm just like everybody else. Why would you do this? Why would you take her? Well, now we have Lydia here who was taken. And look what happens. It says, when they had washed her, which would have been the job of the women, to clean the body, wash her and dress her, they laid her in the upper room. And since Lydia was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when they had come, they brought him into the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Clothes were much more expensive in their day. In fact, in their day, we're told that people usually had two pairs of clothes. Well, one set you wore every day and one set of nice clothes. I know you guys have three. 100. maybe so much clothes that you could give the vast majority away. But clothes were very expensive in their day. So this ministry of Dorcas, to be able to come alongside of people and help them was extremely powerful. And these widows were there showing it. This reminds me of someone grieving as well. Having the privilege to be able to come alongside of people during the time that they're going through grief. One of the things that I'll do is I'll ask people about their loved one who's passed away. I don't know them as well as they do. Maybe I'd met them, maybe they were here at the church, but I'll ask them, tell me about them. And I like to get together with them. And as the family starts telling stories about the person, you know what I find really interesting? And it was true this way with Lisa as well. As we sat and talked about Lisa, we talked about her quirks. And then somebody else would tell a story about her quirk, and then somebody else would. And the next thing you know, through our tears, we're laughing. And that happens often. When you're sitting down and say, tell me about them, and they'll start to talk about the loved one, they'll start talking about something that was funny about them, and then somebody else will tell something, and the next thing you know, in the midst of their grieving, they are crying, or in the midst of their grieving, they're laughing. This is healthy, what they're doing as they gather together, comparing and showing the different garments that they made is a healthy way for them to go through grieving. And I want to encourage you, if you've lost someone here recently, you've got to make it through grieving in a healthy way. I don't think we ever move on from the one we lost, especially if it's a child or a spouse or a parent that we love that died. What we see is too early. We've got to go through that grief to be healthy, and don't try to escape it, but instead just go ahead and take the grief. You have to go through it to really be healthy in the end. I see people trying to escape it. It's a bad thing to do. In order to come out healthy on the other side, you've got to go through the grief. And that's what they're doing. They're there. They're showing the different garments that she made. Now, Peter shows up. It says, showing the garments which Dorcas, or Tabitha, had made while she was with him. But Peter put them all out. Now, Peter comes in. They're all hanging out. They're showing the garments. And Peter says, go, get out. You put them out of the, you guys can't be here. You need to go out of here. I don't know how you politely say that. Maybe Peter went in and said, excuse me, ladies, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to go out for a little while. Maybe he was very polite in the way that he did it. But you know what it reminds me of? Another miracle Jesus did. Remember, Jesus in Capernaum rose a little girl from the dead. The Father had come to her while she was still alive and sick and said, come and pray for my daughter. Jesus began to go, but because Jesus had done so many miracles in Capernaum, they crowded around him, and a woman with a flow of blood for 12 years reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And when she did, Jesus felt power go out from him. And so Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples were like, everybody? The crowd was pushing in around him. And he goes, no, I felt power go out from me. Now think about that. She had a need. She just wanted to touch the hem of his garment, and he healed her of that flow of blood when she came into contact with the Messiah. And so Jesus stops and ministers to her. I wonder if Jairus wasn't impatiently like, can we do this later? Can we go there now? But then someone came from his house and told him, your daughter's died. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And Jesus came up to Jairus and said, only believe. And they went to the house. When they got there, they found people mourning and weeping and wailing. And Jesus said, why are you weeping? She's only asleep. She'll wake up. They turned and they jeered and they made fun of him. And the Bible says that Jesus put him out of the house. Kind of like Peter. Maybe Peter remembers because Jesus took in Peter, James, and John, took the little girl by the hand and said, little girl, arise. And she arose from the dead. And so now Peter shows up and here's Dorcas. He's like, get out. Maybe he's trying to be like Jesus. Get out. Got to get you guys out of here before I can do it. Really, I think that he just wanted to really pray and see if God wouldn't do this miracle. But Peter put them all out, it says. Now we're in verse 40. And knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all of Joppa. Now, Joppa is very close to Caesarea Maritime, where the Gentiles are going to receive the gospel. So God's doing a sign here to attest to the Gentiles that he's the Lord. And it says, and so it was, and it became known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now, it had said in Leda, when he healed the paralyzed man, all believed in the Lord. Here, many believe in the Lord. And so it was, he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon the tanner. And that sets up the stage that we get next week where the Gentiles, for the very first time, will receive the gospel. Now, a couple of things that I think about here. So if miracles are a sign, we have her being raised from the dead to give us a sign. The sign for us, I think, is that Jesus rose from the dead and that all of us here have two events in our lives in the future. And I don't want to be morbid on a Sunday morning study, all right? But, and I've stole this from someone else, the statistics on death are staggering. One out of every one person dies. And given enough time, we will all die. And these are in the Bible to speak to us about our afterlife. And a few things about the afterlife. Remember that before this happens to Tabitha, there's a thief on the cross next to Jesus who says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, do you remember? "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Heaven is paradise. I don't know what you think about heaven. We're doing a study on hell right now on Wednesday nights. I'm talking about the misconceptions of hell. That the Bible never says hell is a torture chamber, a dungeon-like torture chamber. Do you know that? We get that from Dante's Inferno and from Milton's Paradise Lost. We get that from Looney Tunes. We don't get that from the Bible. And so we're talking about the reality of what hell really is and what the torment really is for the ungodly. We're going to continue on that. But there's also myths about heaven. People say, "I don't want to go to heaven. I'm going to be bored. What am I going to do? Flying around, playing harps on clouds? I don't know. How long can you do that? All of eternity? I don't want that." We are in heaven. The Bible says in heaven, there is fullness of joy, that there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. People say now, why did God make a world with evil and suffering and pain? Why didn't God take all that stuff away? I like to say, just hang on, that world's coming. We're going to be there one day. But think about this from the perspective of Tabitha. So the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So Tabitha is present with the Lord. She's in paradise. There's no more, it's fullness of joy. There's no more sorrow. There's no more pain. And then, I don't know how they broke the news to her. An angel, maybe? Tabitha, I got some bad news. You're going to have to go back. Pastor Chuck Smith, who founded Calvary Chapel, he went to be with the Lord in 2013, but he founded Calvary Chapel in the late 60s. When he would come to this passage, he would say this. I heard him teach on this passage a couple of times, and he said it in both times. He would say, "Now one day I'm going to die. And when I do, I don't want you praying that I would come back. If I come back and find out you prayed for me, it's not going to be good." Now, yesterday, when I got done with my study and I was doing something else for a little while, I put on a study in the background by another Calvary Chapel pastor. I won't tell you who it is, by another Calvary Chapel pastor. When he got to this part in the study, he told the story about himself. He just stole Chuck's stick and just told it like it was himself. And it made me wonder, there are 2,000 Calvary Chapels around the United States. And one of the things that Calvary Chapels do is teach all the way through the Bible. That's one of the distinctives of Calvary Chapel. We teach the entire scriptures. And I wonder how many Calvary Chapels, when they come to this passage, tell that story as if it's theirs and not Pastor Chuck's. I mean, there's probably a lot of them. But it really is a true thought that when we die, we will be in paradise and we will be with him. We will move on from this life where there are struggles and there are difficulties, and we will be in his presence. And I think that this is speaking of that. Now, let me just give you a couple of verses, and then I have three things in closing. Just a couple of verses about victory over death and the grave. 1 Corinthians 5:55 through 58 says, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" When we are risen from the dead, death will be defeated. The sting of death, it says, is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me read you one more. This is John 11, 25 and 26. This is before Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And Martha says to him, "Had you been here, he wouldn't have died." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And I'll ask you that question today. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you believe in him, that you will live forever? Because that's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And he gives us that everlasting life. Now, three things in closing. Number one, we represent Christ wherever we go. And the Bible says, live in such a way that people can see Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. The Bible says you are an ambassador for Christ, living for him, and may God use you in a unique way to minister to those who are around you to see Christ. Number two, we were paralyzed, like this man was paralyzed. We were paralyzed spiritually, and Jesus forgave our sins and healed us of our paralysis. Jesus said, you must be born again. You got to be born of the flesh and of the spirit because your spirit was dead. And so number three, it's good for us to be reminded that Jesus has power over death, because one day we'll face it. Now, some aren't. The Bible says, I tell you a mystery. Not everyone's going to die, but some are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And I always say, I vote for that, God. That's what I would like. This mystery you talk about, I vote for that. But hey, all the Christians for 2,000 years that have gone before us have one day faced their own mortality. And when you face your own mortality, which one day will be immortality, because this mortal is going to put on immortality, do you have that relationship with Jesus? Do you really know him for real? Remember, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who goes to church is a Christian. Someone said, no more than going into McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Jesus said, some are going to say, didn't we do miracles in your name? Even miracles. Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And he's going to say to them, away from me, I never knew you. So if you don't have a relationship with Christ, if you've never declared your love for him and asked him to forgive your sins, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today before we leave this place. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can take time to look at these miraculous things that were happening in the book of Acts and to consider the kind of sign that they are and what they are pointing to. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts. And for those who are here who have never given their lives to you, I pray that they would surrender themselves to you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed. If you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your life, listen to what it says in John 1:12. As many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. So he's looking for you to invite him in. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. He is knocking. The Father's drawing. God has chosen you. And you now have to respond. He is not going to make anyone become a Christian. He doesn't force anybody to be a Christian. You have to say, I want you in my life. You have to say, Lord, come in. I want you. Maybe you've done that in the past, but you didn't follow through. Maybe you've never done that, and you need to say to him, I want you in my life. And to be completely clear, you're going to become a disciple. The Bible says, go out into all the world. This is the commission of the church. Go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So you're just not coming to Jesus to find the forgiveness of sins and then going on living your life. You're becoming a disciple. You're going to be like Peter, James, and John were. You're going to be a follower of Jesus. And Jesus said, if anyone follows me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose for your life. You were created for a reason. The Bible even says in Acts chapter 17 that God puts people in times and places. God has you here. Some of you guys feel like God put you in the wrong time, in the wrong place. But God has you here for his reasons. That you would say, Lord, I want you in my life and I'm going to live for you now. So if you're here tonight, if you're here this morning, I don't know where you're going to be tonight. But if you're here this morning and you want to give your life to Christ, you want to say, Lord, I'm ready to follow you. I'm going to ask you to do something bold. And this is your moment. Just raise your hand. You're saying, Lord, I want you in my life. I surrender to you. I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for you. I want the forgiveness that you have in my life. Just raise your hand now. Lift it up high so I can see it. God bless you there. Your hand went up immediately. God bless you guys down here near the front. That's awesome. God bless you, sir. Right back in the aisle. And God bless you. The young man there with his hand raised. That's great. God bless you, sir. Near the back. That's awesome. God bless you there with your hand raised right in front of the window. You're just a silhouette to me, but I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am, right by the aisle there. This is your moment. This is the moment that you come to your Savior and start that relationship with Him. Want to give your life to Christ? Just raise your hand now. Don't let this moment pass by. God bless you there. That's great. Little girl, God bless you, ma'am, back by the back. God bless you there as well. That's wonderful. Anyone else? God bless you. And God bless you guys back there, both your hands. God bless you there, all the way back in the corner. Makes me think I should go around the room one more time. All right, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. But I also know that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a disciple, as a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. It's exciting. Now, at the end of that, I will often say, welcome to the family of God. But you realize that raising your hand can't save you, right? You realize that praying a prayer can't save you. At this point, you may say, well, then why did you have me raise my hand and pray a prayer? Because I'm giving you a point like the thief on the cross to invite Christ into your life. It's the faith of receiving His work. It's not a work that saves you. If raising your hand at an altar call saved you, then raising your hand would save you. But if you're receiving the work of Christ, then it's not by works you're saved. It's by grace through faith that you're trusting in what He's done for you. And you now have entered into a love relationship with Christ. And we have a new believers table that's out in this foyer, our east foyer. We've got a Bible, a new believers packet. A lot of people, when they start walking with Christ, kind of flail a little bit. They stumble a little bit. It takes them a while to get their feet underneath them. We just want to help you any way we can to come out of the starting blocks running well for Jesus as you now live for Him. And may God really, really quickly you begin to use you and allow you to see God's hand in your life as you've surrendered yourself to Him. But you got to walk out of here and continue on in the commitment. A lot of people make commitments in church. Trust me, a lot of people make commitments in church and then don't follow through with it. So you want to follow through with it and continue on. The good step in that is stopping by the new believers table.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, We'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.